when the message is over.
Well, some of you might know this, that when you come into my house, I have a few artifacts that are right by the entry to my doorway. And three of these artifacts are actually from Nicaragua. Thank you, Cove. And one of them is this pot that I received back in 2022 when I was there with a few of the other people here from Kamaway visiting. We're visiting a few villages, and one of the homes that we were invited into was a woman who was a potter. And she had dreams of building a business and selling her pottery. And so she was so hospitable to invite us into her home and to look at her growing business. And she sat on a potter's wheel as we visited, and as she shared and it was translated, we got to hear a little bit more about this woman's life. Now, many of you know that conditions are really difficult there and nothing comes easy. And so we found out that in order for her to make something like this, she had to walk, had to walk about an hour just to get to the river where she would gather the clay and somehow figure out a way to carry all the clay back on the journey back to her home so that she could make these pots or whatever she wanted to make out of the clay. And part of her dream and her vision for this business was that she would be provided with a roof so that when it rained, it wouldn't ruin all the work that she had just done. So needless to say, it was very humbling to listen to this woman's story and to listen to how hard the conditions were for her to do something just as simple as this. And at the end of her time of sharing, she gets up and she goes over to this shelf where she had a lot of these pots, and one by one she started giving them to us on the team. And when she started doing that, I started to cry because I'm like, oh, no. You know, when you hear about the amount of sacrifice that goes in to a gift that someone's ready to give you, it moves you, doesn't it? And of course, in our American way, I'm not proud of this, but immediately what is our response? Oh, can I pay you for that? Like, oh, no, please don't give me that. And it was hard to receive something that felt so generous. And yet, that was exactly what we needed to do, was to receive this generous gift from this woman. And she gave away, like, it might have been almost all of her stash that she had just worked on. And she just gave it to us. And all we could do was say, thank you. And I keep these, I received a few other gifts that people in the village made, and I keep it by my door as a reminder of their extreme generosity. And it moves me when I see them. And so as we embark on this series of generosity, we're just reminded that it is such a powerful tool and a powerful expression of the human spirit that points us to God. You know, I have a friend and a mentor that loves to say this. He says, we are most like God when we are generous. Now, some of us, if I would say, you know, fill in the blank, we are most like God when we are, a lot of us would say loving. And to that, I would say, yes, absolutely, that is correct. But what is generosity? It's an expression of love. It is an overflow of love. We are most like God when we are generous. We are most like God when we are givers, when we give in a way that is about others and not ourselves, and it is an act of love. What do we know from one of the most famous verses of all time, John 3:16? We actually heard this last week when Ted was speaking. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. But can we slow it down and just focus on the first few words of this verse? For God so loved that he gave. For God so loved that he gave. For God so loved that person in my life who's difficult that he gave. For God so loved Commonway Church that he gave. For God so loved me that he gave. And so the first thing I want to remind us all of as we begin this series on generosity is that love is the motivation that spurred God's generosity. And that quote, we are most like God when we are generous, is right here, exemplified in the greatest act of love and generosity of all time. God loved us so much, he loved his creation so much, that he wanted to give us a gift that would lead us back to life. And so he gave. And I think one of the reasons this verse is so powerful is because it is so generous. The fact that we would be offered something that we don't deserve, and that's called grace, is generous. So we know that generosity is so powerful, right? And yet it is so hard to do. It is so hard to release our grip on the things that we have, whether that's our possessions, whether that's money, whether that's our time, whether that's our gifts or our talents or our attention. So we have these hesitations and we have these hang-ups when it comes to being able to be generous. And we need to be reminded that God so loved that he gave. So in terms of where we're heading this next 5 weeks, for the next 5 Sundays after this on generosity, we're going to be talking about a number of different topics and having a few different speakers come in, some local. So topics of like neighborliness and justice, topics of service, topics of worship. We will be talking about giving. What does that look like to be generous with the resources and the money that God has given us? How about this? Generous in our relationships. Generous in our relationships. So hopefully you'll kind of get a bigger umbrella here and a wider view, perspective on how generosity can be lived out. And as we experience this series together, I'm hopeful that we will be given this vision of what it looks like to be disciples that exhibit a Jesus-like generosity. A Jesus-like generosity. And I use this phrase because we've all witnessed generosity gone sideways, haven't we? It kind of leaves a bad taste in your mouth and you think, I don't think that was generosity, that was something different. You know, how about that guy that always boasts about how much he gives away? You know, so his name can be put in a brick on the side of a building or something. Or the grumpy volunteer that you know is just resentful of serving and is there out of obligation. How about the person who always just gives the least amount as possible, just tries to find the cheapest way to get through and hesitant to share at all? Or the gift that might come to you with strings attached. So I wish I had another name for bad generosity. So I asked Siri, because that's what we do. Siri, bad generosity. As I'm holding my phone, that's what the hand was my phone. And so what I saw come up was toxic generosity, irrational generosity. Here's one, pathological altruism. I thought, wow, that's new. Overgiving, people-pleasing. So that's not what we're going to be talking about in this series. And if that's maybe some of those things have come to your mind as we've used the word generous, I hope that you can kind of push that aside, because that's going to put us all in a bad mood. And this week, I've been in a great mood studying generosity, and I've told people a number of times, how can you be grumpy and study generosity? It's really impossible. So when we talk about Jesus-like generosity, I wanted to give us a definition to think about, okay? To give joyfully, humbly, and freely for the sake of others. This type of generosity is good news, and this type of generosity is the kind that changes the world around us. So joyfully, it's from a place of gratitude. It's not coming from a place that is out of fear or shaming or obligation, because we've experienced that before. That's not good generosity. Apostle Paul used the words, for God loves a cheerful giver. Now that's a vision for generosity. I'll be talking more about that in a second. How about the story of Jesus turning, you know, water into wine? That's got to be one of the best examples of joyful giving, saving the best for last, and giving what he created out of nothing to give people an amazing party and to have more joy and to keep it flowing. That's joyful generosity. And then this idea of humbly giving. Humbly giving, not to be seen, not to be recognized, you know, not to be propped up. Jesus warned in the Sermon on the Mount, hey, if you get your reward on earth, you're not going to receive your reward in heaven. He says, but give in secret so your Father in heaven who sees you will reward you. Don't let your right hand know what your left hand is doing. This idea of giving, so not as to impress people, but just because it's an overflow of what God has given to us and we want to humbly give to other people. And then this idea of freely giving, no expectations, no strings attached. I mean, have you ever given or have you ever had someone give you something and you're kind of suspicious or just you have this feeling of like, what do you really want? Or what do you want? Yeah, what are you up to? Yeah, sometimes when your kids approach you and they give you something, you're like, what's behind this, right? Or a future obligation of you owe me. You know, just this feeling of this gift feels manipulative in some way. That's not giving freely. But this idea of giving freely is what Jesus said to his disciples when he first sent them out on this mission. And he's like, I want you to go, you know, heal the sick. I want you to go cast out demons. I want you to give in the way that you have given from me. And he uses these words, freely you have received, freely give, freely give. And so that is the heart of Jesus. And when he sent his disciples out, it was what? It was for the sake of others. It was for the sake of others. And I love this vision of generosity. This type of vision of generosity, I want to get on board with that. Because this reflects Jesus. But this vision takes time in us to develop, doesn't it? This doesn't happen overnight. Because we do live in a world that likes to prop up the giver. And we do live in a world that likes to engrave names on bricks. You know, platinum giver. Like, that's just the world we live in. But we live in a different kingdom as followers of Jesus. And so what does it look like to practice this generosity to rid ourselves of this natural self-centeredness and selfishness that is all a part of our human nature? So how can we grow? How can we grow in generosity? Well, I'm going to give us four principles today. I'm not going to try and say everything, okay, because that would be impossible. But I tried to narrow it down to four principles of generosity that I think will help us springboard into this series together. But first, I'd like you to do something. And ladies, this requires looking in your purse, or guys, you have bigger pockets than women do, so dig in your pockets, and I want you to pull out your wallet. I want you to pull out your keys, okay? Just go ahead, play along. This is fun. I'm old school. I still have my checkbook because I like to write checks. I do. And pull out this thing, which I don't know why we call it a phone, because we only use a percentage of it to actually talk to people anymore. But pull out your phone. So we have all this stuff, don't we? And all this stuff symbolizes important things in our life or people in our life. I have my keys here, and on this fat thing of keys, I have a key to my car, I have a key to my house, and I have a key to this building. So it symbolizes my job. So right on here, I have something that symbolizes my job, you know, the place that I live, the place I sleep, and my mode of transportation. And here's my wallet, credit card, debit card, insurance card, chapstick, but that's a side point. Cash, right? If I lost this, it would be a bad day. But this symbolizes something. It symbolizes resources that I have been given. Checkbook, same thing. And then this phone, my way of connecting with people, people that are very precious to me. And so as you look in your hand, you know, as you look at your keys, as you look at your wallet, as you hold this computer that you have in your hand that's full of a lot of other things, we need to remember something about all of this. We need to remember that it's from God, it's for God, and it's all God's anyway. And that is our first point for the day. You can put your stuff back, and I know it'll be distracting if you have your keys jiggling the whole time. Some of you might want to keep your phone out for the Bible this morning, nothing else, right? But yeah, you can put those things back. So the first point, it's from God, it's for God, and it's all God's anyway. I have a few verses that I just want to share with some of the points, and I love this one from Romans 11, 35 through 36. Paul says, who has ever given to God? Have you thought about that? Who has ever given to God that God should repay them? For from him and through him and to him are all things, to him be the glory forever. Amen. For from him and through him and to him are all things. For from him, through him, and to him are all things. To him be the glory forever. Amen. Or how about this verse from Psalm 24, 1 through 2. I love this. The earth is the Lord's. The whole thing. The earth is the Lord's and everything in it. Everything in it. The world and all who live in it. All who live in it, all of us. For he founded it on the seas and established it on the waters. Everything. Creation. Your stuff. Even you. And sometimes we forget, don't we? We forget that our jobs and our opportunities and the skills and all these things that we have, we forget that they came from God. I love this warning that God gave when the people of Israel were ready to go into the promised land and they were finally able to enter in and receive all these blessings that God had given them. And God said, hey, I want to give you a warning first as you're ready to receive something abundantly. And he says this. He says, you may say to yourself, my power and the strength of my hands have produced this wealth for me. But remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the ability to produce wealth and so confirms his covenant, which he swore to your ancestors as it is today. He's like, don't forget. Don't forget. Now, they didn't have car keys back then, but just go along with it, right? Don't forget that it is I who have given you these things. And at the end of the day, yes, we have worked hard for this. But at the end of the day, let's remember, it's from God, it's for God, and it's all God's anyway. From God, for God, and it's all God's anyway. And you know, that goes for our bodies as well. Paul wrote this. He says, do you not know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, God, honor God with your bodies. Hey, this is the only one we get. Now, I know some of you might have new knees. That's an exception. Most of the things we've been given, we don't get a new one. Most of the time. But God lives in us, and it's been a gift for the Holy Spirit to dwell in us. But we are not our own. Do something real quick. Check your pulse. When's the last time you've checked your pulse? You do your carotid artery right here on your neck, or you can do your radial artery right here on your wrist. You feel that? Bum, 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 bum. That's blood flowing through your body, and that has been given to you by God. God's the one that's keeping your heart pumping, keeping your body going, giving you life. It's from God, it's for God, and it's all God's anyway. And I think when we see that all this comes from God, we are more inclined to do good with it because we've been entrusted with so much. So in order to continue to grow, to become more generous people, let's remember this. First and foremost, it's from God, for God, and it's all God's anyway. And that flows into our second point. It's about the heart, not the amount. It's about the heart, not the amount. When Paul was writing a letter to the church in Corinth, he was talking to them about the generous church in Macedonia and how they had been so generous to provide resources for him on his journey. And I love one of these verses that as he was talking to the church in Corinth and helping them think about what to give, he said this. He said, each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And that's really freeing to hear, isn't it? It's so freeing to hear that. God cares about our heart, not necessarily the amount. Paul is saying, I want this to be between you and God. When you think about whatever it is that you're giving, I want this to be between you and God. And we see this a lot in Jesus' ministry. You know, the story of the widow who gave two mites. She gave all that she had. And Jesus says to the people that were at the treasury who were giving out of their wealth and their riches, he said, hey, this woman, she gave out of her poverty because she gave all that she had. And he paralleled that with the Pharisees who would boast about, you know, even tithing on their spices, which is so funny. Like, if you ever thought of giving a portion of the spices that you grow, but they even did that. They were excelling at giving, and yet to Jesus, he could see their heart, and he's saying, you know what? You may be generous to be giving a portion of your spices back, but you're not giving to the poor, and you're not being generous towards your love for God. And so over and over and over again, we say that it is the heart that matters, first and foremost, when we think about this idea of being generous. Someone can have a greater capacity to give, but that doesn't necessarily make them more generous, does it? I remember when I worked for a missions agency for 8 years, and some of you know this about my life. Right out of college, I did this. I worked for a sports ministry, and part of that whole deal was that I had to raise my own funds. But we called it friend raising, not fundraising. Anyway, I had to raise everything from salary to benefits to professional expenses, and God provided about 100 people to be on my ministry team for those 8 years. And let me tell you, I learned a lot about generosity as I went through that process. And one of the biggest lessons of generosity I learned from an 8-year-old kid. He was the son of one of the youth leaders at the church I grew up in, and I'd asked my youth pastor, I had said, hey, I grew up in this church. Do you think the youth would want to hear about what I'm doing with college athletes? And I'd love to even give them an opportunity to be a part of it in prayer and giving. And I said, I'd like to invite them to give $5 a month. And I thought, you can get a burger and fries for that? I mean, not anymore. No one can get a burger and fries for $5. But back then, you could. And so I thought it was valuable to give teenagers an opportunity. But little did I know it would move the heart of an 8-year-old kid. And he was sitting there with his mom, and I found out afterwards that she called me, I think, or emailed me after. And she said, BJ came up to me after your time with us, and he said, Mom, do you think I could do chores? Do you think I could do extra chores so that you could give me $5 so I could give it to Lisa in her ministry? Isn't that incredible? BJ ended up being one of my most dear partners during those 8 years, and got to watch him grow up, and it was so fun to share that with him. But he taught me something through that. When we really come to believe that it's more about the heart than the amount, our focus shifts to the motivation behind the gift, and we're not hung up on the outcome. For God so loved that he gave. And so let love be our guide. Third, it is a primary practice for becoming like Jesus. It's a vehicle for us to become more like Christ. Practicing Jesus-like generosity, it will change you. It will transform you. And a few of the ways that it does that is, number one, it dethrones the idols of our heart. The things that we hold on to, that we put above God, when we practice generosity, it kind of chips away at that and moves it aside. You know, Paul said to Timothy, he said, the love of money can be the root of all evil. And we've seen this. We see this in the world today, right? Greed, power, this idea of self-preservation, selfishness. The list could go on. When we make money or the pursuit of stuff to take the place that rightfully belongs to God. So generosity helps dethrone idols of the heart. It loosens our grip on our possessions, because we're constantly thinking about, okay, this isn't mine. It's from God, for God, and it's all God's anyway. Second is that it builds our faith. I mean, how could it not, right? Because it's so uncomfortable sometimes to think about giving freely and to let go. And so it naturally forces us to say, am I going to trust the words of Jesus? Am I going to trust him and walk in this place that feels so unknown to me? You might find yourself saying these things sometimes. I'm not quite sure how this is going to play out if I give, but I feel led. And so you say, so God, would you provide? Would you provide? And that could go for energy or time, you know, that goes for our resources, all of it. Or you might be wondering, you know what? I don't know how my offer of help is going to be received, but I'm going to step out in faith anyway and see what God's going to do with this. I'm going to make myself available. And taking those steps of obedience will change you. It will change you, and it will build your faith. And then the third, it grows in other-centeredness. Because again, we're thinking about the interests of other people. We're thinking about making an impact in others' lives. And so it shifts the focus from us, and it shifts our focus outward, not inward, of asking ourselves, what can I do for somebody else? And I know this takes practice, but this is a practice that is a doorway, because all spiritual practices are what? Are a doorway to experiencing the grace of Jesus Christ and being transformed into his likeness. All right, fourth, it will lead to freedom and abundance. And I love this because it's so counterintuitive, isn't it? I think so many times we think giving will lead to like bondage or just feeling like you're backed in a corner, you don't have enough, or it'll lead to scarcity. But no, that is not Jesus-like generosity. It leads to freedom and abundance. And one of my favorite proverbs and teachings on this says this in Proverbs 11, 24 through 25. One person gives freely yet gains even more. Another person withholds unduly but comes to poverty. A generous person will prosper. Whoever refreshes others will be refreshed. Think about generous people you know. This is true. When you experience someone, you know, when you want to refresh somebody else in that act of giving, you often are blessed in return. And this isn't even, you know, this isn't just talking about financial prosperity. In fact, I think that is maybe one of the lesser of the blessings. You know, it's not promising that. It's this richness of life. It's being rich towards God, as Paul would say, in every area of your life, in your entire overall well-being. You know, it's funny, in some of the different practices we were learning about prayer, we learned about all the health benefits. You know, I found that as like a consistent theme as the speakers talked about it. And as I was studying generosity this week, I saw that it's true of this as well. Different benefits that come as a result of being people that give freely, humbly, and joyfully. It reduces stress, anxiety, and depression. You know, we've experienced stingy people. They're usually not happy, right? They're grumpy, they're anxious or afraid, but this idea of being generous, it releases feel-good hormones. It does. Isn't that cool that God designed the body this way to release endorphins and oxytocin and dopamine, these happy hormones, as a result of giving? It boosts self-esteem. When you volunteer, when you serve, when you help make people's lives better, it can't help but boost your own self-esteem. And it improves relationships. The relationships you might even have in this room, I can't imagine if the generosity, you know, meter would go up in your relationships. I can only imagine that it would strengthen them, wouldn't it? Generous with your time and your kind words. Maybe for some, generous with your silence, if that's needed. You're too generous with your words, so I need a little more silence. If the shoe fits, wear it. But generous with your acts of service, it just has an overall effect and improvement on who we are. And it rewires our brains. So it leads to abundance. It doesn't lead to scarcity. Jesus doesn't want us to worry about not having enough. He doesn't want us to worry. We worry, I worry, I'm with you in that, but he doesn't want us to worry. Because the proverb says, what? A generous person will prosper. Whoever refreshes others will himself be refreshed. I was thinking this week of who embodies this joyful kind of generosity. And Bob Goff came to mind as I was thinking about that. Now, I know Bob Goff came here, I don't know how many years ago, but I was told, maybe before he got super famous, I see some nods in the audience, and if some of you haven't heard of him, you need to, I think he would bless you, but he's a lawyer, a businessman, an author, a speaker. He just does incredible work all around the world. And he does it with so much joy. The first time I heard this man speak, he just laughed so hard he would keel over in the middle of his presentation. And I've never seen someone present and laugh so much. I'm like, this guy, wow, what got into him? And he just exudes it, and his life exudes generosity. He wrote a book called Love Does. If you just need to get a little shot of happy this week, just pick up the book, read some of his short stories. And you can't help but smile. I had permigrin when I would read his stories of what God allowed him to be a part of. I listened to a podcast that he was on this week, and it was called Business Acumen and Generosity. Now, I know it was focused on business, but I think it has wide application for all of us, and I just wanted to share some of the quotes that he offered as he was being interviewed about how he conducts his business sometimes. And he... You know, the first thing that comes out that's so evident with him is he's all about the long game. He's all about doing things that outlast him, and that's his focus. He said, be a river, not a reservoir. Be someone who the resources that just flows through you, and you want to give what you have that comes from God and continue to pour it out in the world around you so that you can help make the world a better place. He said, I used to be about getting more, 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 more. He said, but now it's about more impact. And that's where his focus is. I love this quote that he said. He said, I would encourage people to just, instead of putting a toe in the water, use all your business acumen, but don't overanalyze this thing. Because at the end of the day, it ain't a business deal. This is generosity. I don't want to blow a bunch of sunshine. I want to make a big difference. I don't want to blow a bunch of sunshine. He's like, hey, if I'm going to do something, I want it to matter. And this is generosity. He also said this, instead of controlling the outcomes, and this was in his business mindset, because a lot of business, you need to think about the outcomes to be responsible. He says, think about it as influencing the outcomes. What God is up to cannot be controlled. But what is happening in your life can be influenced. So generosity is about making a difference. It's about doing things that outlast us because Jesus-like generosity is eternal. And so over and over again, as I'm listening to this, I'm thinking, man, this man is about living in a different kingdom. He's living in a different kingdom. And it really shows of when you give freely, you gain even more. And he modeled that. He also had this quote. He said, Jesus was always talking about a reverse economy. Following Jesus means doing the math differently. Following Jesus means doing the math differently. And as citizens of a different kingdom, we live in a different economy. No one demonstrates generosity more than Jesus. And I love in 2 Corinthians 8:9, we read this, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, for your sake he became poor, so that you, through his poverty, might become rich. And that's the model that we have in Jesus. He emptied himself, left heaven to be a human, to live among us, to give of his very life, and his generosity has outlasted him because here we are 2,000 years later, still amazed by that act. What scriptures say, for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, despising its shame. For the joy, which is you, which is me. So as we embark on this series of generosity, let that be our vision. Let this idea of Jesus who made himself poor so that we could become rich be our vision. So this week, I want us to focus on the heart, because we're going to have plenty of opportunity in the weeks to come to think of practical ways to show generosity. But since it begins in the heart, let's begin in the heart. So I encourage you with this breath prayer this week. I've been practicing this, and it's been helpful for me. Of just inhale, you can do this with me, for God so loved, and then exhale, that he gave. Breathe in, for God so loved, that he gave. And I just do that when, as you think of it throughout the day, for God so loved, that he gave. And may that be our inspiration to grow in generosity. And we can follow it up with this prayer. God, help me to grow in a Jesus-like generosity, to give joyfully, humbly, and freely for the sake of others. Let's pray. God, I thank you that you have given us the ultimate demonstration of generosity in your son, Jesus. Jesus, thank you that you lived a life among us that was so generous, that was joyful, that was humble, and that freely gave, no strings attached, just so that we could know life in your name. Spirit of God, would you help us to grow to be like you in this area of our life? We want to be changed. We want to be transformed, but we need your help. So may this be our vision this week. Thank you, God, that you so loved each one of us that you gave. In your precious name, amen.